as we're prone to say, any agenda we write in pencil, because we want to always give opportunity for his gifts to be honored and displayed through his people. God has a word. And I believe right now, as we turn to the word of God, he wants to speak to each and every one of us. And ladies, please be patient with me today as I'm going to address my thoughts primarily to the guys. And please do not think and elbow your husband saying, "You better listen now." Because God's going to be speaking to you too. Now I lost my thought. Guys, we've come here today, once a year, our society celebrates us, primarily fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. And I'm well aware that there are those who don't fit any of those categories. You're single, or maybe you've never had a child, or maybe you are estranged from your kids. And Father's Day is one of those days where, yeah, no thanks. But I felt as if the Lord was saying to me in the prayer room today, it's not the dads, it's not the granddads. I mean, we have enough pressure in our lives as dads, as granddads, as where we work. But at the end of the day, I felt the Holy Spirit reminding me, I'm a son. And doesn't matter how old I get, I will always be a son to my Heavenly Father. And so I want you guys to hear, not just from your pastor today, I want you to hear from another son, just like you, struggles just like you. But together, guys, we have a father. We have a dad who isn't going to whack us in the back of the head today. But he longs for us to come to his throne of grace, where we find help for every need. That's our father. That's our dad. He is holy, he is hallowed, and he's our dad. He's our heavenly father. So, guys, hear me today when I say, I am a son speaking to brothers who together are hearing from our Father today. You are not alone. You are a son and you are a brother. Don't fall for the devil's lies that says, real men do it alone. That is a bunch of hokum. I think that's Hebrew. God wants you to know you're part of a family, a great family of God. And together, brothers, we come together and we worship our Father and we hear what our Father wants to say to us today. So with that, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, as we have been reading in the last few weeks. We have been studying 10 values that build strong families, and we have been utilizing the 10 commandments as our basis, the basis of where we are studying from and how we're going to build those families. These commandments are not rules to bind us, they're not rules to hinder us, but they are guidelines, God's guidelines, to protect, guardrails to protect and direct us as we walk with him and one another. Last week we looked at the seventh commandment. Today we're going to look at verse 8 and 9, but I'd like us to put the three together. Beginning at verse 14, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. These three verses all speak to one thing that I want to share with you today. They all speak to how God calls us to live out integrity in our family life, our work life, and our social life. They each ask, are we being faithful? Can I be trusted? And am I truthful? I believe the saying is true. Your charisma, personality, talent, education may get you a position or job, but it is integrity that will keep you there. And so here's my big idea for us today, guys. Integrity matters. When you have integrity, nothing else matters. And when you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. There was a story that I read this week. Several years ago in Long Beach, California, a fellow went into a fried chicken place and bought a couple of chicken dinners for himself and his date late one afternoon. The young woman at the counter inadvertently gave him the proceeds from the day, a whole bag of money, much of it cash, instead of the fried chicken. After driving to their picnic site, the couple sat down to open their meal and enjoy some fried chicken together. They discovered a whole lot more than chicken, over $800 cash. Now, many would have walked away with their newfound windfall saying, look what God has provided. But this guy did something different. He put the money back in the bag, he got back into the car, and drove all the way back to the store. The man got out, walked in, and became an instant hero. By then, the manager was frantic. The guy with the bag of money looked at the manager in the eye and said, I want you to know I came by to get a couple chicken dinners and wound up with this money bag of cash. So here, have it back. Well, the manager was so thrilled. He said, oh, great, let me call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture and put it in the local newspaper. You're the most honest man I've ever met. To which the gentleman quickly responded and whispered in his ear, please, don't do that. You see, the woman I'm with is not my wife, and she's somebody else's wife. Isn't it tragic that we live in a world where people are more shocked by integrity than they are by the lack of integrity? Maybe it shouldn't be a shock, because every day when we turn on the computer, we look at our news app, we listen to our news, I was going to say radio, who listens to the radio anymore? But when you read social media, you find another leader, another celebrity, another politician, another whoever who has fallen. And sometimes you even see it in a friend or a family member. Someone who claims one thing but lives another. And that's why the title of today's message is Integrity Matters. Integrity matters. Integrity matters because when you have integrity, nothing else matters. And when you don't have integrity, everything matters. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm chapter 15. And I'd like us to stand together as we honor the reading of God's word. Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Many believe that David wrote this psalm after he had brought the tabernacle from Obed-Edom's house and returned it to the tabernacle, or the Ark of the Covenant, rather, to the tent. And so we read Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, who casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, who honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. May the Lord bless the reading of his word today, the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, before we unpack this wonderful psalm, I want us to understand what integrity is and what integrity isn't. First of all, what integrity is not. To begin with, integrity is not perfection, meaning if you do something wrong, someone just can't say to you, you lack integrity, because the fact of the matter is, no one is perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Your mother-in-law is not perfect. No one is. To live with integrity doesn't mean that you never make a mistake. Because if that were the case, only Jesus would be able to have integrity and be here this morning. What we're looking for is a life that is whole. An integrated life. In fact, the word integrity comes from the root Latin integer, which actually means to be whole, complete, or one. What would this look like in your life? Well, too often in our lives, we are compartmentalized. Thank you. Yes, pray for your pastor. What God wants for us to be is whole in how we live. But we tend, especially guys, to put our life into nice, convenient boxes. For example, we have our professional box. This is the life that I live at work. Then we have a family box. It's not like my professional box, but it's where I'm with my family. And then there's my social box. And there's another compartment that is my spiritual box, and then there's another box that's really tiny that no one else sees because that's my private box. And we have all of these boxes so nightly compartmentalized in our lives, but we don't want to be seen different from one box to another. For example, often we might have a professional life that's separate from our spiritual life because we don't want to offend anyone at work with our spiritual beliefs. And when we get into our family box, we keep our private life separate because we don't want our family to know what's going on in this 2x4 up here. And when we go into our social life, there's really different from what we do in our spiritual life, which is profoundly different than what we do in our private life. And without even knowing it, we live a compartmentalized life. And my friends, that is not integrity. Integrity is holistic. You see, we want to glorify Jesus in all that we do. We want Jesus to fill every part of our lives. We want Jesus to direct our actions in our professional life. We want Jesus to lead our relationships and our social life on the pickleball court. We want Jesus to be the core of our family life, especially when we're sitting down and watching Canada whoop the opposition. Go Canada! And pray for Sweden. Guys, you're not just a Christian dad. You just don't have a Christian family. But God wants us to have a family that is centered on the teachings, person, and life of Jesus. He is the one, guys, who needs to drive our private life. It's not something that we're going to do when no one else is looking. But instead of having a life of boxes, we want to have an integrated life centered on the goodness, the grace, the power, the glory, and the truth of Jesus Christ. So what is integrity? Well, we might say it this way, very simply. Integrity is when your behavior matches your beliefs. It's when you and I show on the outside being a true reflection of what we believe on the inside. Proverbs 10 verse 9 tells us, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Living with integrity means never to worry that someone finds out what we said on the internet or in the staff room behind closed doors. It means that we sleep soundly and live without regrets. So let's turn back to our scripture and unpack Psalm 15 that so beautifully pictures what integrity ought to be looking like in your life and mine as a son and fellow joint brother and joint heir with Jesus Christ. What does integrity do for my life? What does it do for your life? Why should I live a life of integrity? Well, to begin with, David says, the word says, integrity provides me with a sense of direction in my life. In verse 1, he says, Lord, he asked the question, Lord, who may dwell in your secret tent? And here, David asks two questions. And in these questions, he is writing about coming into the presence of God. Who is that person who is able to come into God's presence? Because that was the number one thing for David. His number one priority at this point in his life anyway, and throughout his life, was always that he be in the center of God's will, the center of God's presence, that wherever he is, that God's presence is in him and he's a reflection of God, his Father and great Shepherd. And when I'm walking in his presence in integrity, I have that sense of direction. Why? Because his presence, his spirit, gives me direction. We don't come into this building just to experience the presence of God. We don't go to a special service to experience the presence of God and then leave and forget his presence. No, his presence goes with us everywhere. Brothers, if you are a follower of Jesus, when you went to bed last night after Sweden was whooped by Holland, and you may have been depressed or joy-filled, whatever the case may be, you went to bed with God's presence. When you woke up and your wife had your coffee nice, hotly brewed, ready for you, and your kids were there jumping in bed saying, Happy Father's Day, Dad. God's presence was with you. And when you came here this morning, you sang the songs, you have prayed, you've heard the prophetic words. God's presence is with us right now. And guess what? His presence will go with us once we leave this place. Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. His spirit is with us to guide us, to protect us, to comfort us, to convict us, to empower us. And we're called to live daily because we want to be directed by him. Secondly, integrity provides me a sense of security. David goes on to ask, who can live on his holy mountain, or in some of your translations, his holy hill? In speaking of the holy hill of God, David is referring to the fact that living daily with an awareness of God's presence in my life provides me with a sense of security concerning my one day being with the Lord in heaven. You see, when we know we're in his presence and he's guiding us and we're walking in his presence, he gives us that assurance that no matter what I face, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. And I can be safe. I can be secure because my Father is guiding me. And my Father will not forsake me. Living my life with a daily awareness of God's presence allows me to be directed in my journey, both here on earth and towards my expectation where I will be with him forever. So how do I live with a daily awareness of God's presence? Well, I'm glad you asked me that, guys, because I'm going to tell you. First of all, David says, my walk will be blameless. See, God wants you and I, our Father wants us to walk in the awareness of his presence each and every moment of the day. And our journey begins with a blameless life. He says, the one whose walk is blameless. The word blameless here means a life of integrity and wholeness. It refers to consistency, sincerity, and means that your actions and internal character align with God's standards. Understand this, guys. It does not mean being completely sinless and flawless. None of us are. But it does mean that we live a transparent life without hypocrisy, where our inward actions will match our internal values. It means that we will show a willing heart, continually teachable, obedient, and we are quick to seek forgiveness and to offer forgiveness to make things right with those who fall and fail us. I can live in the awareness of God's presence as I walk blamelessly. Furthermore, my work will be right. David says, who does what is righteous. Now, let me be clear here, guys. We cannot do anything to make ourselves righteous. Nothing. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. There is no one here that can say they are righteous. None. The only righteous one is Jesus. And when we repent of our sin and turn to trust in Jesus as our Savior, he extends his righteousness to you and I. Listen to the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Philippians 3 verse 9, the Apostle Paul expresses a desire to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And in Romans 3:22, Paul explains that this right standing with God is a gracious gift received solely through faith in Jesus. Righteous works are works that are simply right, that they're going to benefit yourself and others to the glory of God, that they are works that bring glory to his name. You see, God's desire for us is that we would live lives that please him, that we are living lives of integrity. Because we are living not for the person sitting around us, but we are living for an audience of one, our Father. And if I'm to live in the awareness of God's presence, my walk will be blameless, my works will be right, and my words will be true. Note that we're told about the kind of speech that will characterize the life of one who lives with an awareness of God's presence. What we say, first of all, will be constructive. We will speak the word of truth from our hearts, and our tongues will utter no slander. We will seek ways of how we can encourage rather than discourage others. And when we speak, we will be considerate. David says this person is one who does no wrong to his neighbor. We will refuse to participate in gossip. And gossip takes two forms. We think all gossip is telling either full lies or half-truths about someone else to somebody who doesn't know them, and no one else will know. But that's not all that it is. It's telling those things that might be true. Things in a person's character that we feel need to be pointed out. Do you know what they did? Do you know what they said? You know where I see this the most? I see it on social media. And guys, we cannot make the mistake of thinking that anything I say online, on social media, by texting or email, somehow shields me from the sin of gossip. And yet many people have convinced themselves that they can hide behind some mask of anonymity if they are online. This isn't true. And when we come embroiled in online debates, disputes, or conspiracy theories, we commit no different a sin than if we were saying them to the person face to face. Oh, I know this is hard, because I've fallen into this trap myself. And that's why from time to time I will post 2 Timothy 2:23. Don't get involved in foolish arguments which only upset people and make them angry. So, when you see that post written by someone that just drives you up the beanpole, and you want to correct them, and you may be right. Guys, you may be right. But before you hit a keystroke, before you press send, ask yourself, is what I'm saying true? Is what I am writing needful? And is it kind? Will it build them up, or will it tear them down? The kind of speech that will characterize the life of one who lives in the awareness of God's presence will be constructive, considerate, as well as convicting. This person says, David says, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord. In other words, our words will be used by God to identify that which should be condemned and that which should be commended. And God gives us discernment. And it's so easy to get into the former and correct people why they're wrong, to try to make ourselves look good. And that's when I need to sit back and think, is it true? Is it kind? Is it needful? And ask God, Lord, set a watch before my mouth so that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth will be acceptable to you. And finally, what he says can be counted on. He's the one who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind. He's the person who can be counted on to do what he says. He will back up his promise with action even when it hurts to do so, even when it costs. Does not shy away from making a promise when he makes one. He also doesn't shy away from keeping his promise. How many want to walk in his presence every day? I know I do. My brothers, this is God's call to us today. This is God's word to us. How can I live with the daily awareness of his presence? My walk will be blameless. My work will be right. My words will be true. And finally, my ways will be pure. He lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. There is nowhere else that integrity will be displayed than in how we handle finances and money. We all think, guys, that the money is mine to do with. It's no one else's business. Not true. Not true. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. I'll have more to say on that next week. But David is talking about more than just careful financial management. He's talking about our motives. He's talking about why and how we use our resources to bless others. David says that the person who walks in integrity, who is walking in the presence of the Lord, is going to daily dwell with his motives being pure. He will not be out to get ahead at the expense of others. Instead, he will be sincerely concerned about helping others in whatever way the Lord would enable him to do so. Not only will his motives be pure, but his methods will be pure. He will not be the kind of person who does anything to get ahead in life. Instead, he will seek to be a person of integrity who draws the line when it comes to conducting their business in life. And when it comes to the way in which he conducts himself, the person who is preoccupied with God's presence in his life will be more concerned with integrity than with image. And then David concludes this psalm by saying, whoever does these things will never be shaken. Why? Because he will live his life with that sense of God's direction, and with that, he will possess that sense of security that comes from God himself. Let's make no mistake. Living with integrity is hard, but guys, it's not impossible. It's a constant journey of walking by faith, submission to God's will, and being in obedience to his word for our lives. I'm going to show a video right now that speaks to the father's relationship to his son. Amen. I said this morning, you are sons. I want you to hear and see what the father says. I don't have to ask for a show of hands to know that in this room today, there have been guys sitting thinking, Ralph, Pastor, I've just blown it. How can I live a life of integrity? In your image of Father God, maybe like that abusive dad, who the tiniest mistake he made was, whap, and that's what you're waiting for, is whap. But God gave me this word today. He wanted me to share with you guys, as your father, he is waiting for you to open the door. You don't have to hide from him anymore. Yeah, you messed up. He knows. And guess what? He just says, would you turn the knob, open the door, and let me come in? And when he comes, he's going to embrace us. Oil, dirt, and all. He loves you. He loves you, brothers. And he's just waiting for you to come today. I want to lead us in a prayer. If there was anyone in Scripture who understood this, it was David. The same David who wrote this Psalm 15 at a time of great victory in his life. The same David that was a man after God's own heart, who has described himself as a man of integrity, is that same David whom we talked about last week, who blew it so royally and almost destroyed his reputation and integrity. But it's that same David who in his mess, he called out to God. And God forgave and restored him. And it's that same Father that's waiting for you this morning. So we're going to pray a prayer together. And it's taken exactly from David's prayer. I'm not going to ask us to bow our heads or close our eyes, but guys, I'm going to ask you to do something that's almost just as brave. I'm not going to ask for confessions this morning, but I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and together we're going to pray this prayer together. Let's pray it out loud. Dear God, search me and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Create in me a new, clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. Don't toss me aside, banished forever from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, God, blessing upon my brothers today. I pray blessing upon each of your sons. I pray blessing upon each one. Lord, that you would, God, fill them, Lord, anew with your Spirit. Make them more aware of your presence each and every day. I pray, oh God, as we do, Lord, as we walk a life of confession and consecration to you, Lord, we would walk with the awareness of your presence. And Lord, we will live lives, God, that our own sons will look up and say, that's a man of God. That's a dad who knows God. Lord, and may we take our sons and our grandsons and our daughters and our granddaughters, and on our knees, Lord, we show them, Lord, what a love of a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather is all about, because we've experienced the same from you, our Heavenly Father, our Daddy God, our Abba. We love you. Hallelujah. 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 We glorify you today, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Worship team, would you come back and lead us in one more? Lord, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Dad's Day, a great Son's Day. And I've...